Hey guys, surprise, it's me, Allie Makovsky. I am, you guessed it, starting a podcast. I've become one of those people. I'm doing it, you know. I didn't really want to, but everyone's doing it. I figured, why not? Why not me? So I'm starting this podcast. I'm just going to be talking some shit, talking about my life, talking about comedy. You know, I'm a young girl, I'm a young little lady, and, you know, I'm up to some stuff. So I figured I'd let you in on the whole process. There's a lot of like really successful comedians who are already like very well known who have podcasts, and that's awesome. There's also a lot of like really new comics that no one really knows about who have podcasts, and I'm kind of right in the middle of it, I guess. So here I am, taking you on this journey with me. I don't have a name for the podcast yet. I got no sponsors. If you guys are listening or watching this, god damn it, this is what happens, you know, you go with the flow. This is the journey that I'm on, and I want to take you with me because it's an exciting time. So if you're listening or watching this, you are here from the beginning. I'm going to come up with one of those like names, like how Lady Gaga has her monsters. Who else? You know, Christina P and Tom have their mommies, their genes. And I'm going to come up with something. Not yet. Maybe you guys can give me some input, but yeah, I'm going to come up with something and we're going to take over. And if you guys are listening / watching to this, you're already in. You're already one step ahead. I just wanted to do something to kind of let you in on what my life looks like as a young girl in Hollywood doing comedy and other shit. And we'll see how it goes. You guys might be watching the descent of me just going crazy, doing blow, going to Greece. Like I said, I'm young. I'm dumb. I'm not trying to be smart. This isn't for smart people. This is a podcast for dumb idiots. That's what I want. I want the dumbest people to love me. So either keep watching, keep listening, or get the fuck out. If you have a PhD, get out of here. Go save lives. This is for people who need to save themselves. Yeah. I'm coming up on my 5-year comedy anniversary, which is pretty cool. I'm from Long Beach, California, and, you know, grew up with my parents, Larry and Jennifer, good people, working class, union people. They're good. And, yeah. I got into comedy 5 years ago. It's so crazy to think that, like, 5 years ago, all I wanted, it's just, you never know. Like, you could have an idea of what you think is going to happen or what you want to happen. And then you start doing it. You just keep showing up. And the stuff that happens is not what you expect. And it's just crazy, you know? Yeah, when I start, like, okay, so here's how it all went down. When I was in fifth grade, my oldest sister, Brittany, would pick me up from school. And it was really annoying because everyone thought she was hot, and so she would pick me up from school. There was this guy, Nathan. I'm not going to say his full name. Maybe I should. I don't know. I hope he's doing better now, but he was a real piece of shit to me. We went to school every elementary, middle, high school. Always a piece of shit. And my sister would pick me up and he'd go, "Allie, your sister's so hot. What happened to you?" I'm hot now, bitch. Puberty hit me, and it hit me hard. You dumb bitch. I think I've gotten exponentially hotter. I'm not going to say I'm, you know, a model or anything. But I'm not a model, you know? I've got strong eyebrows, good eyes, a big heart, fake blonde hair. I could model for, you know, like, I don't know what I could model for. Something low, something not too. Maybe like one of the, like a, I could, whatever, doesn't matter. The point is, Nathan P. I'm hot now, okay? But my sister would pick me up from school. And she, when we would be in the car and driving, she would play Dane Cook's album. That was like the first comedian I like really listened to. Like full album. I was obsessed with it. Classic bits like BK Lounge. Gotta have the coops. Car accident. Where were you? I was doing the dishes and then I heard it, you know? So many classics off that album. So I'd always listen to that on the way home from school. And then when I was a senior in high school, I started going to the Laugh Factory a bunch. Vine was popping. Vine was in its prime my senior year of high school. And I would always watch Chris D'Elia's Vines. So funny. And then I got into the 10-minute podcast. That's some OG shit right there. Him, Brian Callen, Will Sasso. 10-minute podcast. So funny. And then I would use that sister, Brittany, who would pick me up from school. I used her old ID to get into the Laugh Factory and watch Chris D'Elia. And I saw so many great comics there. Chris D'Elia, Dom Irrera, Adam Ray was performing a bunch, Dove Davidoff, Bonnie McFarlane. Just so many funny comics. And Dane Cook would always perform there. And it was crazy because I remembered him from my childhood. And I'm like, whoa. Like, I was like, I just want to do what these guys are doing. I want to be able to go on that stage. And I was so naive. I thought, I don't know. I thought that comedians just got lucky. I thought they were at like a cool Hollywood party. They were in like a group telling a funny story. And one of the dudes in the group or chicks in the group was like, dude, you should just do my show at the Laugh Factory. Just talk. I had no idea that they were writing and working and like preparing this stuff to tell on stage. And one night I was there. It was new material night. And I go and I watch all these people who I've seen perform take out a notebook and they were reading these jokes. And I was like, they're not just coming up with this stuff off the dome. That means that if I write and I work on this, then I could perform. I was going so often, at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. You know, I was sad. I was a sad girl in high school. You know, I didn't really hang out much. I was just going to the Laugh Factory. I had no idea about all these other great clubs. I just, you know, I wanted to see these shows. And so one night I'm there, Dane Cook is performing, you know, he was there a bunch. And I got the courage to ask him after the show. I went up to him. I was like, Dane, I'm 17. I want to do comedy. I don't know what to talk about. You know, I'm only 17. I'm not even supposed to be here right now. How do I start? And he said, stop making excuses. Go home tonight. Write 3 to 5 minutes of whatever you think is funny. Come back here. They have an open mic on Tuesday. And I was like so inspired. I get home. I start writing dumb jokes, really dumb jokes, but I thought it was pretty funny. I had jokes about, you know, my fat dad not killing spiders for me. Just like, you know, just some basic ass shit. I go to the open mic on Tuesday. I was too late. I go to the open mic next Tuesday. I get in line. I sign up. You have to go the next week to perform. I show up the next week. I get on stage, I do 3 minutes, and it was all right. I still have the video of it. Maybe someday I'll post it. I was shaking. I was so nervous. My hand is shaking severely. And, but I did it. And I was so filled with like adrenaline and fear and excitement and joy. And then I go off to college for like, you know, a brief stint. I was pretty much just in college to like party. I dropped out. And I think like a year after that, I started doing stand-up. I went to this, I was in Hollywood. I drove up from Long Beach. I went to this like drop-in improv class because I was like, I want to get over this stage fright. I need to just get comfortable being, just performing. So I take this little improv class. This is a year after my first open mic. I haven't done comedy since. I go to this improv class. I leave early. I go to a coffee shop down the street, and they're having an open mic for stand-up. And I was like, this is a sign. And so I sign up. I do my same set from a year ago. You know, I pull up my notes on my phone. I perform, and I start talking to the other comics, and they tell me about this website, the Comedy Bureau, that has all of the open mics in LA. And from that moment on, I was going to 5 open mics a night. 5. I would just jam from one to the other. I also didn't have much going on. You know, I'm like 18, right on the verge of 19. I'm living at home with my parents, you know. I think I was at either my dad's place at that point, or maybe I was with my mom then. But I'm just going to open mics because I'm trying to get out of the house. I'm trying to just do the thing. And I'm writing new material and just getting better. And then what's really cool is that like 3 weeks ago, I did a show at the Laugh Factory. It's like a sold out show. And I perform with Chris D'Elia. And it was like, you know, a full circle moment. And there were so many before, and this happens a lot. There's a lot of people, like I get messages from people who are like, I want to do stand up. Do you have any advice? And I used to do that before I started. I would send direct messages on Twitter to these comics that I really thought were super funny. Like Nick Thune, Jake Wiseman, Eric Griffin, and, you know, the advice that everyone had was just do it. Just do it. Just go to an open mic, find an open mic near wherever you are, and just start doing it. And it's really the only advice, because I think the first time you do an open mic, you know from that point whether you want to keep doing it or not, what it, you know, feels like to you. And you have to just try it out. And you might perform and realize, oh, okay, that was fun, but, you know, take it or leave it. Like, for me, when I did it, I was like, oh, this, yeah, of course, duh. This is what I have to do. There's nothing else that I'm doing except for this. And so that's why I would go to all these open mics. And, like, the thing is, you can't prepare for what to do next. You just have to keep doing it, and then stuff will happen. And like, there were so many people who I started with who, you know, don't do it anymore because it's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy, you know. But it's so fun. It's so cool to be able to do it. And I think a lot of the time it's just about consistency, just doing it as much as possible. And, you know, I'm still friends with the people who don't do it anymore. And it's like, they do their job, you know, and they're like, they're doing well. You don't have to stick with it. You can just do it. And if you don't want to do it anymore, you don't have to. But if you really want to do it, you just have to keep showing up and doing it. And don't expect anything out of it. There's people who are like, should I move to LA and start comedy? Just do it wherever you're at and see what happens. Just start. Just take some baby steps. Because it's like you can't expect to know where it's going to go after that. Like, I could never see, like, 5 years ago, I'm just picturing myself at these open mics being like, I just want to do this show. And it's like, you know, you do a lot of shitty shows the first couple years. You're doing shitty shows. And you want to perform so badly. You're like, I want to do this shitty show so bad. If only this person saw me. And it's like, just do whatever's in front of you. You can't force it. Because you're not, it has to happen naturally, you know? So I started doing it, and I'm doing these shitty shows. I'm doing a lot of open mics. And it's crazy to think of, like, where I'm at now. It's exciting, because, like, you know, you just show up, and it, you know, it happens when it happens. You can't, there's people who get so bitter, or, like, you know, they want it all right now. And it's patience. Yeah. Yeah, what? So then I started doing comedy, you know, and I would go to the Comedy Store. I found out about the Comedy Store, and that's when shit got so fun. The Comedy Store is the best. It's such a fun hang. There's so many great comedians who perform there. It's so much fun. And I would go there when I was like 18 or 19. And I would sign up for the open mic. They used to have like 3 different open mics there. Now it's just one on Mondays. And I would go to all the open mics. I would hang out there all the time. And I would sign up for Kill Tony. And then I became a regular on the Kill Tony podcast. And I would have to write and come up with a brand new minute every week. Every week, a brand new minute of material. In front of, like, the first time I did it as a regular, it was Doug Benson and Sarah Silverman. And then, you know, just so many great guests on that show. So much fun. It's scary. That was like a crazy time. I did it for like 2 years. But when I started doing it, I think I had just turned like 20 or something. Or I was like, when I became a regular, I was like 20. And they found out that I was underage. And so they kicked me out. So I would just like hang out on the sidewalk. I was lingering. I was loitering. And then I would just hang out there because I loved the place so much. I was like, I just want to be around it. And then on my birthday, on my 21st birthday, I was there. And at midnight, I came in, did Kill Tony again, and did it for like 2 years. And yeah, just cool shit. Cool fucking shit. Russell Peters took me on like, just like after one set, he was like, do you want to come do a show with me in Ontario? I'll give you a guest spot at the Ontario Improv. And I did not do well, but I learned a lot. I had a lot of fun. He's the best. He's the nicest dude. There's so many like just cool people in comedy who are so nice and want to like help you out when they see that you're like doing it and you're fired up about it. They want to be able to like, because they remember. They remember when they were, like, young and new and fired up. And then I stopped doing Kill Tony. And people are like, oh, no, what happened? Why did you stop? This is my ASMR portion of the podcast. Oh, no, what happened? Did you stop? And it was, like, it was such a great experience, but I felt like, it was like, no one wants to hear me anymore. That's how I felt. I'm like, you know, I've had a good run. I've had a blast. I've done as much as I could do for this. It's time for someone else to kind of take over. And then Malcolm Hatchett got it. And that was like super fun. And I was like, this is perfect. It was like just good timing. I thought it was like, you know, the best. And like Tony was so supportive of me and has been so helpful and kind to me. And after that, fucking Tony hits me up and he's like, hey, I just gave Joe your phone number. I'm like, what? He was like, Joe Rogan is asking for your phone number. Okay. And I get a text from an unknown number. Hey, Allie, it's Joe. I want to see if you're available to do some guest spots with me this weekend at the Ice House. Yeah, I think I'm free. So I did guest spots with him. I was so nervous. I was so excited. I ran the light and I thought it was like all over for me. I was supposed to do 10 minute sets and I went over by like 15 minutes. And he was cool about it. But he was like, yeah, just be more professional. And I was like, okay. And then, you know, it's all just like learning. All this is just like learning as you go. And there's some moments where I'm like, fuck, I feel like I'm not getting better. Or like, I feel like I'm like stuck in this place where I'm just like, you know, kind of on like autopilot or whatever. But because I keep doing it, you know, as regularly and frequently as possible, you get better. And I was talking to someone at the Comedy Store a long time ago, and I was like, just telling him, I'm like, yeah, I just feel like I'm in a rut. I feel like I'm not getting funnier. I just feel like stuck. And he was like, name anyone who works on something every day and doesn't get better. And it's true. I am getting better. And like, when I look back to that first set I did at the Laugh Factory, it's like, I've gotten exponentially better. When I look back to a set I did a year ago, it's like, I've gotten better. Whether it's just like joke writing, performance, you know, there's so many different things. And now that I'm hosting shows locally with Joe, I get to learn in a totally different way, because hosting is like this totally weird thing. But yeah, I'm super excited. I'm doing my first gig opening for Joe Rogan outside of LA, because I've just been doing like local shows with him. And I'm going to Vegas. I'm doing the Mirage. That's some fancy shit right there. I'm going to the Mirage with him this weekend, July 5th. We're performing. And then Saturday, I'm going to get a hooker. I'm going to get blow. I'm going to get a gun. I'm not going to shoot anyone or myself, but I think when you're in Vegas, you just need a gun. No bullets. No bullets for sure, but maybe I'll get one of those guns that just, I don't know. You have to have a gun, you know. I'm going to get some cowboy boots. And I'm going to take a lot of pictures. Going to pee in the lazy river. I'm always peeing in pools. My stomach's grumbling. I'm drinking so much coffee, I feel it in my asshole. That's when you know. That's when you know the coffee's hitting, is when you feel it brewing in your asshole. I drink so much coffee that when I go pee, it smells like a fresh pot. That's not good. It's not healthy. I get geeked up off coffee. I want to be shaking. I want to have tremors throughout the day with my coffee intake. I drink coffee like it's water. I hardly drink water. I'm so dehydrated all the time. I've been trying to drink water more. I drank too much water the other day, and I got the Daya. Yeah. No one tells you about that. Everyone says, water's so good for you. You have to drink a lot of water. And then I did. I got the Daya. It's short for diarrhea. I'm getting over a cold. I feel fine now, but I was pretty sick. So that's why I was drinking a lot of water. Oh, yeah. Las Vegas is going to be lit. It's going to be so fun. It's going to be the biggest audience I've performed in front of. I don't know how many, but it's going to be like thousands. I feel like, I don't want to jinx myself, but I feel like in that situation, it's like kind of impossible to bomb. If you're decent at comedy, you have thousands of people who are like fired up to see comedy, you're going to do well. It's going to be such a good time. I want to see Gaga when I'm there. Lady Gaga, I love her so much. I love her so much. Oh my God. That movie Shallow just like changed my life. Yeah, Vegas is going to be fun. And then I'm super excited because I'm going to Sacramento later this month, July 18th, 19th, and 20th. I'm doing the Punchline in Sacramento with Mr. Andrew Santino. I like to call him, I don't really call him anything except for his name. Little bitch ass Santino. He's so funny. But yeah, he's taking me. It's my first time like doing a feature weekend outside of like the greater LA local. Like I'm flying out to do a weekend. It's super exciting. Man, it's so fun. You know what I love? I love flying. I'm just so excited to fly. I love going to the airport. Some people hate the airport. I love it. I'm like, look at us. We're all going somewhere. Maybe they're flying out to, you know, Phoenix for a funeral. Still exciting, you know, RIP, but you get to travel. That's so crazy that we get to do that. I love flying. I just love people watching. I'm always hoping that I get to sit next to some hottie on the flight. It's always like an older woman who's knitting with a sandwich. They always have a sandwich. Yeah. I love flying. I'm going to New York in August. That's a fun flight, a New York flight. I never really get scared on flights. One time me and my sisters were going to Texas. We were visiting our gunkles. I hope that you guys can hear my stomach make noises while you're listening to this to really feel like you're a part of it. But me and my sisters were visiting my gunkles, which is my gay uncles. And there was a terrorist on our flight. Not making it up. There was a terrorist on our flight. Not confirmed, but we get on the flight. And my sisters are, they're basic, you know, we got basic sisters, you know, live, laugh, love type of people. They're those people. God bless them. I love them. But they get worried. They get freaked out. And then I get freaked out. I feel like I have to be a part of whatever they're a part of. They're getting ramped up. They're all nervous about the flight. I'm chilling. But then we get on the flight and I'm like, you guys need to relax. We're going to be fine. We're going to Texas. On the flight, there's a man sitting with a Bible. And he's crossing everything out in red pen, underlining, circling, crossing out everything. That's suspicious. That's not normal behavior. If you're going to do that, do it at home. Do it waiting in the terminal. Don't do it on the plane. We're freaking out. Me and my sisters are going up to the flight attendants. We're like, this guy is a terrorist. And they have to act cool. You know, they can't lose their shit or else everyone loses their shit. And they're like, okay, we're going to be fine. But then I think that they caught on too because they were like, we're experiencing turbulence. You guys are going to need to sit in your seats for the duration of the flight. And so they put the seatbelt sign on. There was no turbulence. But they didn't want this guy moving around. He gets up to go to the bathroom. My sister follows him. She cuts the line after he uses it. And she goes in there and she checks the trash cans because she was scared that he like put a bomb in there or something. She's crazy. We made it fine. No one's terrorizing a flight from LA to Texas. Maybe DC. Maybe another New York. Texas. No one's concerned about Texas. Yeah. My dad wanted to come to the Rogan show. I was like, hey, Dad, why don't you come to my shows here where we live? But once Rogan's involved, suddenly my dad is invested. There's a free hotel room with me. I'm not sharing my hotel room with my dad. I did that enough when I was a kid. I had to share the room with my dad and my sisters. It was fine. We never really did like family trips. You know how some families, whenever I had a friend who's like, oh, we're doing our family trip, I'm like, don't brag with your family trips. We did family trips to Red Robin. That was our family trip. Coco's. We always got the Asian chicken salad. You know, PC culture is taking over when Coco's changes their Asian chicken salad name. It's gone through a lot of different names. Chinese chicken salad, they were like, that's offensive. Oriental chicken salad, that's offensive. Asian chicken salad, can't do that. At one point, I think they called it the chink chicken salad. Yellow fever salad. They had to change it. Now it's called the off-white chicken salad. Yeah, PC culture is taking over the food industry now. French fries, soon enough, we can't call them French fries. What if I actually was like, I don't know. Oopsies. Sorry, listeners. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just wanted to give you a little taste, a little glimpse into my life. This is the first episode. How much time? 30. Just a quick. This is the foreplay episode. This is when I spit on my hand and I just gently caress the podcast. And I whisper in your ear and I said, everything's going to be okay. Come with me. That was pretty hot. I'm not going to lie. I was like, ooh. Maybe it's the cold brew. Cold brew is just hitting different. Yeah. I want to do this. I mean, I don't really want to do this. If I'm being completely honest, no part of me wants to do this. But you have to. Comedy, you just got to do other things. That's the fucked up part about comedy when I was getting into it. I thought, oh, I'll just do stand-up and it'll all be fine and fun and merry. And then as soon as shit starts going well, maybe you get a manager or something, the first thing they ask you, what else do you want to do? What else do I want to do? Yeah, nothing. I was kind of hoping that just stand-up would be fine. You're a stand-up manager. It's not enough anymore. They want you to sell your soul in every way possible. It's weird because now with like social media, podcasts, all these different platforms, everyone wants a little piece of you. Which is fine. I don't mind. I'm an open book. So now I'm doing this. I feel like I already post so much on my Instagram story. That's like a pod. I thought my Instagram story was a podcast, you know? Now I'm doing this. Soon I'll be selling my underwear online. I've thought about that. Maybe I'll do that as merch. It'll be expensive. I'm not taking that on the road with me. That'll be like some dark web back page shit. But I'd consider it for a high enough price. I'd sell some undies. Yeah. I would do it. Would I? I don't know. I thought about it before. Like when I first started comedy, I was like, how can I make money to, you know, just afford to live? And I thought about doing it, but that would be so many trips to Target. And the parking at Target is just a nightmare. They don't have a good underwear selection anyways. And you can only make a lot of money if you post pictures. Like if you send pictures of you wearing the underwear. And that's like a different level of commitment that I don't have. Maybe I'll do a Patreon. And whoever sends the most money, I'll give them my uns. My undy poos. Yeah, what else? What was I saying before that? Oh, yeah. Everyone wants you to do something else. I had a commercial audition. I do commercial auditions, which are such a nightmare. You see all these people who just want to get a commercial, and it just is so sad because you're being so vulnerable. And everyone's, like, wearing their outfit that they think expresses them. And it's like Starbucks baristas. They have to wear a uniform, but they get to have freedom in the hat choice they wear. Because you have to wear a hat as part of, like, you know, the health code. But no one's wearing the basic. No one out in LA wants to just fit in. No one's wearing the Starbucks logo baseball hat. Everyone's wearing a fedora with a feather in it. I don't want Johnny Depp making my latte. There's this one guy who wears a top hat, Abraham Lincoln style. It's too much. Everyone's got to have their thing out here, you know? But I do commercial auditions. Trying to make that dough, that cheddar. I've only done 2 commercials. The first one was pretty tight. It was for national parks. Heard of them? The second one I did most recently, I pretty much was just a glorified extra. 2 people who were extras on the shoot were like, "You do comedy, right?" I was like, "Obviously not in this moment. You have to do other stuff. You can't just do comedy." But it's tight, you know? I figure this is just a fun thing that I can do. I can't burp on command. I wish I could. I had stuff come up on that. That was like cold brew foam. That was like a rabid burp. That was so foamy. You know when you have burps and you think it's just going to be a normal burp and it's way more than you expected. That was a mouthful of foam. That was disgusting. It's nice though. You get a second chance to have another sip, you know. I'm kind of gross. It's fine. Sell my underwear. Sell my soul. There's no ads. That's what's exciting about doing the first episode of a podcast. No ads. No MeUndies plugs. No Mac Weldon. No, you know, for hims. Yeah. This is just me spitballing. So welcome to the first episode of the Allie Makovsky podcast. That's not the official name, but it is for now. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I have a website. It's just my name, www.alliemakovsky.com. I have an Instagram. I post constantly on there. And yeah, I don't know. This is, we're going to see what happens, and you're going to be a part of it. So strap in, strap on, and I'll see you next time. Bye.